God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So not long ago, my kids got into my barn, my little shed where I store old things, and they got into a shoebox. In fact, it may have been several shoeboxes, and found my old love letters to my wife and hers to me. And I discovered those need to be kept under lock and key. I will tell you this, though. All the letters in that box are from the lady that is now my wife. I don't have any letters there from other ladies, from other girls that I may have been sweet on back in the day. And there's a reason for that. The reason is because I'm married to one woman. And that's the memory that I want to have. That is the future I want to cultivate. Now, do you think God would want any less from you if you belong to Him? You know, God's people are to be God's alone, and they are to cultivate that relationship with that in mind. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, speaking to the children of Israel, the Bible says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land." And he talks about two things in particular. Number one, don't worship where they worship. That is, when you get to the land of Canaan, don't worship in the same place as they did. In fact, verse 2 tells the children of Israel, "Ye shall utterly destroy all the places where these people worshiped." Verse 5, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose," verse 6, "thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings," verse 7, "and there ye shall eat before the Lord your God," verse 10, "but when ye go over Jordan," verse 11, "then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose." And we could read almost all the verses up to verse 28, which we will not do, verse 29 rather. But they're all talking about the fact that there was a particular place where God was to be worshipped. That is the place of His choosing. The reason for this, of course, was because God is God alone. He is a distinct God. And when we belong to Him, we are His alone. Now, I realize that this was in a different dispensation so that there's more than one place to worship God today. The thing that's relevant is that their place of worship was to be distinctly different from the place that the pagans worshiped their gods. Now, this is interesting because I have, through the years, I've preached revival meetings in storefronts. I remember preaching in Philadelphia in a church that was a former nightclub. It was no longer a nightclub. Everything was gone from that. But it was a church. I've met people who'd been saved in that church who used to frequent that place when it was a nightclub. Well, a child of God is under new management as well. So that's fine. It is worthy, though, of noting that a place where we worship God ought to be distinctly for Him. There ought not be any distractions that would make us want to worship someone else or something else. Then the Bible says, don't worship how they worship. In verses 29 through 32, the Bible addresses this. God says, "Take heed that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise." Don't worship where they worship, God said to Israel. Don't worship how they worship. How do they sacrifice? How do they worship? What kind of altar did they have? God said, "I am distinct. I'm not like just some other god. I am not another god. I am God. There is none else." Don't worship how they worship. And the bottom line is, don't worship what they worship. The first two, that is, how and where, were a protection against this. Don't worship what they worship. When you belong to God, you belong to God alone. And your life ought to be a cultivation of that exclusive relationship that we have because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus sent by the Father on our behalf. God's people are to be God's people alone.